The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Chairs No Waiting, episode number 465. Cast Shares Mayberry Magic. Two Chairs No Waiting is brought to you each week by the fine folks over at WeaversDepartmentStore.com. Drop by over at Weavers. There's all kinds of cool things there. Hadn't talked about them in a while, but some books. The Andy Griffith Show book by Ken Beck and Jim Clark. A must-have for all Mayberry fans. The Definitive Guide. It's the Definitive Andy Griffith Show References, the name of it. Definitely something you'd want to have. If you want to look up trivia stuff, that's a great place to do it. And if you're not into those kind of things, head over and check out The Way Back to Mayberry. It's based on the Bible study for the Andy Griffith Show. You can get all these things over at WeaversDepartmentStore.com. Two Chairs is also brought to you by donations from folks just like you. Head over to Patreon.com/Two Chairs. And support the show. Support me. Hello, I'm Alan Newsom, your host, who's begging for money right off the bat. No. I'm not begging for money. I'm kidding. If you'd like to donate, it's awesome. But if you can't, hey, I'm just glad you're here. It's always fun to spend time in Mayberry with you. This week, we're going to have some fun. We've got a report that came from the, let's see, it's the February 15th, 1992 issue of the Bullet. Now, this was before we actually had the e-bullet. This is the Bullet. Okay, so we're going to be heading over and checking that out and getting reports about an event that occurred in Nashville, Tennessee at Opryland. Now, Opryland, you people may know about the Opryland Hotel, but some of you aren't old enough to remember there used to be a place like Six Flags, kind of, that was Opryland. It was an amusement park. It had roller coasters and all kinds of stuff, shows. They had all kinds of stuff there. Well, that's where this Mayberry Cast reunion was held, was at Opryland. And I was able to go. I was actually there. So Jim Clark, the presiding goober over at the Andy Griffith Show Rio and Watchers Club, wrote a report. That's right. He wrote a report about this amazing event. And that's what we're going to head into and listen to, or not listen to, me read to you. So if you don't like reading, you know, you can, you'll just have to suffer through it. I just don't have any other thing for you. And stick around, because when we get there, we're going to be going, after that, we're going to be hearing from Randy Turner for This Week in Mayberry History. And this week, it's about Bert Mustin. So definitely worth taking a read there. Okay. All right. So let's see if I can get some background music. Oh, there we go. I'm going to turn it way down because that's really cheerful. But folks, that's from the VW Boys. The VW Boys, awesome. One of the VW Boys, Tim White, is going with us on the Mayberry Cruise in 2018. He hadn't been able to go with us for the last couple of years, so this is awesome to have him back with us. So check out the Mayberry Cruise. Go with us. I know you're going to enjoy it, but this is the VW Boys. Folks, let's head and check this out. The Mayberry, this is called Cast Shares Mayberry Magic. All right. It was back last September that Mayberry fans flocked by the thousands to see 10 Andy Griffith Show cast members reunited for four fantastic shows at Opryland in Nashville. And then thousands more swooped into Mount Airy, North Carolina for more home, down home fun during Mayberry Days the following weekend. First, let's talk about Nashville. It began on a Friday night as the cast members starred on TNT's Nashville Now for an entire show dedicated to Mayberry. Complete with a jail cell and a squad car replica, the set conjured up Mayberry memories as cast members Don Knotts, George Lindsay, Betty Lynn, Maggie Peterson, Hal Smith, Jack Prince, the Dillards, which were Rodney Dillard, Miss Jane, and Dean Webb were there, plus the talented non-cast member Steve Colby and, of course, Doug Dillard. They all performed and reminisced about Mayberry with host Ralph Emery and guest performer Tom T. Hall. After the fun at Nashville Now, the cast members headed next door to the Grand Ole Opry, where an appreciative audience cheered as they were welcomed by Opry member Porter Wagner. The next day, the cast had a quick rehearsal at Opryland's new amphitheater, and then lunch, and then a press conference before the first show. An overflow crowd, electric with anticipation, was on hand for the historic gathering. It was the first time the cast members performed in character in Mayberry skits in front of a live audience, and the first time Don Knotts had appeared live in a public cast member reunion. But first, a few jars of Aunt Bee's homemade pickles had to be given away to the people who had traveled the farthest to get to the show. By the way, England took the top prize this time. A winner was presented a jar and serenaded with Flo Sweet Afton. Let me say that. Flo Gently Sweet Afton. By Aubrey Land's clever version of Mayor Pike's off-key daughter, Josephine. It wasn't Juanita, it was Josephine. After thanking sponsors American Airlines and Park Suites and Chevrolet, along with the Andy Griffith Show Rerun Watchers Club, Aubrey Land host Phil Stegner, who produced and directed and helped write much of the show, he joined George Lindsay on stage as the curtain was raised to wild applause. George Lindsay entertained with some wonderful comedy bits and assumed the role of Mayberry host when the Darling Boys, the Dillards and Doug Dillard, rode on stage in a beautiful flatbed truck. Everybody got off the truck and proceeded to play and sing old Mayberry favorites like Dooley and Ebo Walker and Doug's tune. Then Maggie Peterson skipped in slick as a whistle and joined the boys for Salty Dog and that one that makes everybody cry, There's a Time. The audience also joined in for an enthusiastic sing-along of Somebody Touched Me. After that, it was everybody back on the truck and they were off down the holler. Meanwhile, Hal Smith staggered in as Otis carrying a vase. George helped him off stage. He just missed running into Jack Prince, the golden-voiced king of Mayberry moonshiners. He absolutely thrilled audiences with his heartfelt Rafe Hollister renditions of Lonesome Road and Riding the New River Train. Nobody sings them like Jack, and the audience stood up spontaneously to let him know. Once again, Hal Smith lost his way onto the stage, and this time with a relative of Jimmy the Goat. Oh no, Uncle Nat in tow. So Jimmy, the dynamic duo then wandered off the stage. George continued with goober ease. Naturally, the audience couldn't let him get by without sewing up his fingers and impersonating Cary Grant, Everett G. Robinson, and Chester from Gunsmoke. George also threw in some hilarious new material demonstrating why he is one of the most requested entertainers and MCs in the country. Oh, but then came, this time he was riding in on a motorcycle sidecar. George once again chewed him off the stage when Otis appeared, and he continued his routine. Because we thought it was going to be Barney, but there came Otis in the sidecar. But wait, here he comes again, a third time, on the wheel of a miniature car. That's right. He set up. He was behind the wheel of a miniature car. Here comes Otis. After George pried him out of the car, Otis sobered up for some stand-up of his own. Hal intoxicated the crowd with his marvelous stories and then performed some of the popular cartoon voices he has done over the years, including the original Barney Rubble and Dino, both of them from the Flintstones, He did the Smurfs and DuckTales characters and Winnie the Pooh and Owl. Hal would leave again, this time for good, and no sooner did he head off than who should arrive but Betty Lynn, riding in Rodney Thomas's sparkling squad car replica. That's right, Betty and George visited and shared Mayberry stories, but Betty was on a mission. Thelma Lou couldn't find Barney. He was supposed to be at choir practice, and George suggested trying down at the courthouse, so off she went in the squad car as the audience cheered. As the strands good old 14A faded into the background, Barney music came up. Can't you just hear it? It came up, and the crowd began to scream with excitement. It could only mean one thing. Knots Landing. Barney had arrived. The applause thundered into an immediate standing ovation as Don Knotts, decked out in his deputy uniform, patrolled the stage like a rugged lawman he will always be. "My body's a weapon, he stated, matter-of-factly, sniffing the air with confidence. The audience roared its approval. Of course, if Barn ever needed a little backup, he always has his old persuader handy. Yep. And as you might expect, when old Roscoe did go off accidentally in three of the Opryland shows, adding to the hilarity, the gun may barely did not go off accidentally in the first show. Now, of course, that's Barney. They were trying to make it go off and it didn't. Don then treated the crowd to a pantomime of a baseball pitcher that he used to do for Ron Howard on the Andy Griffith Show set. It was a brilliant piece of comedy that had the audience spellbound with every pitch. Don left the mound to adoring applause, and George Lindsay came out to wrap up the show. He introduced the cast again as a backdrop with the words, "My hometown," was lowered for the audience behind the cast, and they began to sing the song, "My Hometown," together. Questions and answers from the audience followed, and then the artist, Ann Mattson, presented each of the cast members with a specially commissioned print of her drawing of the commemorative weekend with the cast. It was an artwork that she had done. It's an amazing piece of work. It's an amazing piece of work. I've never seen a person work so well with their hand. The cast members caught their breath and then were ushered over to the Opryland Festival grounds, where thousands of fans were nibbling away at Aunt Bee's picnic and preparing to meet the Mayberry Stars. What it was football field length lines devoted to Andy Griffith Show watchers, meandering across the grounds and patiently hoping for the opportunity to say hello and perhaps get an autograph. The picnic also turned out to be a great place for Andy Griffith Show Real Nutters Club members from all across the country to meet and share favorite Mayberry stories. All the cast greeted as many people as possible and signed as many autographs as they could until it was time for them to head back to the amphitheater preparing for their next spectacular show. Likewise, they would please the crowd with two shows and a picnic again on Sunday. Subtle changes were made for each show, but the last show, Sunday, it had a new twist, including Rodney Diller pulling out his harmonica and putting the entire instrument in his mouth and playing it to the amazement and delight of the audience, and George finally reciting his popular poem, "What Mayberry Means to Me." By the time finally came when the last note was played and the last hands clapped, the thrilling weekend of the Mayberry reunion and fun was over. But the good feelings and the smiles live on in the reruns and the memories of all those who attend. Oh, wow, folks. That was an absolutely amazing weekend. I got to be there at least for one show. Did not get any autographs because the lines were football field length. And you could wait and get in, but you just could not get over there and do it. The very next weekend following that was Mayberry Days weekend. Now, Mayberry Days, huge weekends every year. This was in 1991. Okay. So this was the very, very early. So Mayberry Days has been around since 1989. So this was a very early year. And there's a report also about Mayberry Days. I'm not going to try to read that to you, because, we may pick that up again another time, but, it was a great weekend. But I do want to say this, Mayberry Days has changed a lot and we have so much to be thankful for. Boy, there have been so many great memories I've had from Mayberry Days of all the ones I've been able to attend since 1993. I guess that was the first year I got to go. And it has been an amazing adventure being part of Mayberry Days and being there for Mayberry Days and just experiencing it. And David Browning, our Mayberry deputy, you guys have probably seen him. He has been absolutely amazing as the Mayberry deputy through the years. He's gotten to be, just so much a part of Mayberry Days. He started back with Don Knotts, opening for Don Knotts years ago. We've done interviews with him here on the podcast. And he has decided that, last year was his last year, to perform as the Mayberry deputy at Mayberry Days. So, man, we're going to miss him so much. He has been training up all of the rest of us, all of us tribute artists. He's been training us, try to, you know, like Barney, you know, like Barney with Gomer, trying to just, teach us and show us everything he knows over the years. So friends, Mayberry Days is still going to be amazing. But we will miss having David Browning there. That doesn't mean there won't be some Barneys there. I'm sure there will be, but, it's going to be a lot different without David, but it won't be for the fans. The fans are going to be able to come there, and Mayberry Days is still going to be a weekend where the town of Mount Airy, North Carolina becomes Mayberry, North Carolina. You're going to walk the streets and you're going to see Ernest T. You're going to see Otis. You're going to see Floyd. You're going to see Howard Sprague. You're going to see all the different characters, walking around, and sometimes multiple versions of those characters. And Barney will be no exception. I'm certain there will be people there as Barney, because there is every year multiple Barneys. But David Browning had always been our Mayberry deputy. And we are so thankful for all he did to help Mayberry Days in Mount Airy, North Carolina, grow that event so to what it is today. So I want to encourage you to still come to Mayberry Days. We're still going to have the great Colonel Tim's shows. We're going to have all the great shows we always do at Mayberry Days. But David will be missed. But I tell you what, all the rest of the tribute artists are going to do our very best to make sure we keep that same Mayberry spirit alive that David has shown for all the years of his performances as the Mayberry deputy there at Mayberry Days. So, it's a sad thing that David won't be there, but David will still be doing shows. He's going to be doing some inside stuff. He's basically just decided, you know, he's got grandkids. He's got stuff he wants to do, other than, be out in the hot and the weather all the time. So he's kind of cut back on doing Mayberry festivals, you know, so outdoor festivals. So he's kind of trying to cut back on that. Well, actually he stopped doing those. So, he's doing indoor type events, either theater shows or he does corporate events and stuff too. So anyway, that was his decision. It wasn't anything that Mount Airy did to make him mad. So if you've heard any rumors, let's nip those in the bud and stop them. All right. So folks, I hope you enjoyed that report from Nashville and just that little bit of update about Mayberry Days and our amazing friend, David Browning. All right. So now we have from Randy Turner, we have an amazing report about Burt Mustin. So I'm going to let that go ahead and take it away. So Randy, take it away. There we go.
This week in Mayberry History, a report by special correspondent Randy Turner of the Gomer and Cooper Pyle Comic Book Literary Guild of the Mayberry Historical Society.
Burt Mustin was born in Pittsburgh on February the 8th in 1884. Burt is best known to us as Judd Fletcher. While Burt was not the oldest actor to appear in Mayberry, he holds the distinction of being the oldest actor to play a recurring character. In his final series appearance, He was 82 and a half years old. Burt originally worked as an engineer, but in 1916 began working as a car salesman, selling cars made by the Oakland Motor Car Company, so named because it was based in Oakland County, Michigan. The company later changed its name to reflect the town instead of the county in which it was based, that being Pontiac, Michigan. He continued to sell cars for various companies until World War II, when civilian car production was halted. Burt at first acted as an amateur in Pittsburgh stage productions. He also sang with the barbershop quartet in singing competitions. Such a contest is what first brought him to California in 1925, but he had no interest in professional acting at that point. After a full career in sales, Burt retired and moved with his wife to Tucson. He continued to act in amateur productions, just as he had done during his working life in Pittsburgh. When he was performing in a stage production of the play Detective Story, Hollywood film director William Wyler was in the audience. He encouraged Burt to look him up if he was ever interested in acting professionally. Burt later did so, and as a result, made his first professional acting appearance in an uncredited role in the 1951 film version of Detective Story. Burt had become a professional actor at the age of 67. His distinctive look of being bald with a beaked nose and a tall, lanky frame helped make him a familiar and easily recognized figure. Burt went on to have a long second career as a sought-after character actor, appearing in over 200 films and television episodes. He guest starred in many series, including of particular note, two series that were television versions of productions in which Andy Griffith had been involved. Andy was nominated for a Tony Award for his last Broadway play, Destry Rides Again, which was based on a 1939 Jimmy Stewart classic Western. Burt appeared in an episode of the Western TV series titled simply Destry, based on the same film. Burt also appeared in the TV series No Time for Sergeants, which was based on the best-selling book and hit film, which starred Andy and which also featured Don Knotts. Burt co-starred in a 1971 series, The Funny Side, hosted by Gene Kelly, a series that examined married life by looking at six couples and telling their stories through song and dance numbers. He also appeared in many films, including the Don Knotts films The Ghost of Mr. Chicken and The Shakiest Gun in the West. He had recurring roles on many series, some better remembered than others. He played recurring characters in the 1950s in Our Miss Brooks, the TV version of the radio classic The Great Gildersleeve, and Date with the Angels. He's especially fondly remembered as Gus the Fireman in Leave It to Beaver, a role he played 14 times between 1957 and 1962. In the 1960s, he also played recurring characters in Ichabod and Me, The New Phil Silver Show, The Jack Benny Show, The Beverly Hillbillies, The Lucy Show, Petticoat Junction, and, of course, The Andy Griffith Show. In Mayberry, he was usually Judd Fletcher, but he was also Sam Benson, Mr. Crowley, and an unnamed old man. His last appearance as Judd was fittingly as a member of Mayberry's Barbershop Quartet, as Burt was a member of the Barbershop Harmony Society. He also appeared as Mr. Benson in Mayberry RFD, and when Gomer came back to Mayberry to visit, he was Mr. Ferguson. In the 1970s, he played recurring characters in All in the Family and Phyllis. Burt passed away in 1976, less than 2 weeks before his 93rd birthday. Well, that's it for this week. Thanks for listening, and remember to take Andy's advice and go out there and act like somebody.
Thank you, Randy. Make sure you don't miss a weekly edition of this. He posts over at the Gomer and Goober Pyle Comic Book Literary Guild. Send an email to turnersgrade@gmail.com. You can check it out over there. So thank you, Randy, for that report. I messed up his intro a little bit. The music didn't get there correctly. So that's a little on my fault. I'll do better, Randy. Thanks for your report. It's always great. Folks, I hope you have enjoyed this. This is a little flashback from 1991 that I gave you. That was a special, or it was from an edition of the e-bullet from February 15th, 1992. So that was nice. So folks, I hope you enjoyed all this. If you did, I'd love to hear from you. If you didn't, I guess I don't really want you to tell me how bad it was. But if you did, no, if you thought it was terrible, let me know that too. If you did and you enjoyed yourself, I would love to hear from you. You can give me a call at 888-684-8415. You can send me an email at floyd@imayberry.com. Or you can just drop by twochairsnowaiting.com, and there's all kinds of ways to get in touch with me there. Folks, I want to thank you, whether you're watching on the YouTube videos or that we do of this show, or if you're just listening to audio, either way, thank you for your support. If you'd like to support all the stuff I do around Mayberry that includes this podcast, you can head over to patreon.com/twochairs. And just donate a dollar an episode or something. It'll help support the show, keep it running, and pay for everything. Or just tell people about the show. So, folks, until next week, have a great Mayberry week, and we'll see you right here on Two Chairs.